Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Jason. Thank you, Bethlehem Church. It's exciting to be with you again. It's always exciting to come to Bethlehem and to be a part of your worship on all of your campuses and also with those who are joining online. It's just, there's always an atmosphere of anticipation when you come. Man, your Give Hope campaign is incredible. What Kyle just shared about the tags on the tree is incredible. And I heard him say that he pulled a tag for a middle school girl for a pedicure set. I think if Kyle would just give one of his up, that would be perfect for that young lady. But it is exciting to be here. You know, if you haven't noticed, we're in the middle of a pandemic that's impacted all of us. It's impacted churches as well as businesses and families. And churches have had to make adjustments. Your church and your team has done a wonderful job making adjustments during this pandemic. And it's not easy. I'm serving as interim lead pastor at Concord Baptist Church in Claremont, Georgia. It's a multi-campus church as well. And we've had to make all kinds of adjustments there. You have, but your teams work really hard to do the very best in a difficult situation, and it's been incredible. Would you give your team a huge hand for what they've done? And listen, in the midst of a pandemic, last Sunday, as you saw, you baptized 25 people who have said yes to Jesus Christ. That's absolutely outstanding. I've said this, and it's evident here at Bethlehem Church, a pandemic cannot stop a movement of God. When God is at work and God is moving, God's work and God and all he does is greater than any pandemic. And you're seeing people come to Christ. You're sharing him in the community. You're making a difference. And I thank you, Bethlehem Church. Well, this morning, we're going to continue the series that Pastor Jason's been in on Jesus and making him the focus. And this morning, I want to do so from the book of James chapter 1. So if you'll turn in your Bibles there, James chapter 1, in just a moment I'll read. And while you're turning there, let me say I did have the privilege of being Pastor Jason's pastor as he was growing up. His dad was our executive pastor for many years and just loved Pastor Billy so much and miss him greatly. And it was just awesome to watch Jason grow into the leader and the pastor that he is today. But our family now has another connection to Bethlehem. Our twin grandchildren, who are 11, are attending Bethlehem Christian Academy. They're in sixth grade at BCA, and I have to be a grandfather for just a moment, so excuse me while I say hello from Riley and Avery to their sixth grade classmates, all right? So I've done that, and now I'm off the hook Thanksgiving, and it'll be a great Thanksgiving day. Well, James chapter 1. We're going to begin reading this morning in verse 19. Would you follow along as I read? It says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Underline that phrase. That is the key phrase to the lesson today. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, or God's word that is liberating, and continues in it, who abides by it, who lives in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And then, in the next two verses, he begins to outline what that will look like in a Christ follower's life as one becomes actively involved in obeying God's word. It says, "If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. When I was a young pastor, a year or two ago, and just starting out, I was actually 24 when I became lead pastor at Hebron Church in Nicula. We were, as evangelical Christians, in a battle for the Bible. And what that means is this: we were battling and fighting for the validity of God's Word, that God's Word is truth without error, which means it's all God's Word from the first word in Genesis to the last word in the Revelation. And I'm telling you this morning, and I know Bethlehem Church stands on this, it is God's Word in entirety. All of it is truth. And so we were battling for that, and eventually that battle was won. And now in evangelical Christianity, as we believe it, the Bible is upheld as a standard of truth without any mixture of error. Well, I say that to say this. We pride ourselves as evangelical Christians in believing the Bible is the Word of God, standing on the fact that it is the infallible, inerrant Word of God, which means simply that there is no error found in it. We pride ourselves on that. But folks, we need to be very careful. Not in not believing that. We need to believe that. But at the same time, we need to be very careful, because it's not enough just to believe God's Word. The Bible teaches us, more importantly, we are to behave God's Word. We're to live it out. It's to become part of us. If we're going to make it about Jesus and just Jesus, then we have to live by the words of Jesus. And that's what James 1 is teaching us. He's telling us that we're to be doers of the Word and not just hearers of the Word. So what does it look like when, as followers of Christ, we become doers of the Word? Well, several things, and we see them in the passage. You have them in your outline. Number one, we will be quick to hear God's Word. Now, hang with me. You just said it's not enough to hear, we must do. It's not enough just to believe, we must behave. And that is true. But folks, listen to me. We also must hear God's Word, because we can't do what we don't know. And that's why every Sunday, Pastor Jason or one of the pastors of Bethlehem Church stands before you and teaches God's Word, so that we can hear what God has to say to us and then, in turn, apply it to the way we live out our lives on a daily basis. You see, the Bible teaches this. It's important to hear God's Word, both corporately and privately. If you go back to the passage that we read, look at the first verse. We're just going to kind of walk through these. It says, let everyone be quick to hear. And when I was a child, my dad would often say to me, and I know this is going to surprise those of you who know me, me being the meek and mild person that I am, he would say, son, God gave you two ears and one mouth. And then he would ask me a question. Which one do you think God wants you to use more? Now that just really hurt my feelings, because I was such a quiet, introverted kind of guy. But the truth of the matter is, God did give us two ears. And we are to be quick to hear, to listen to God's Word. And as I've said, we're to do so first corporately. Now that's been made difficult because of a pandemic. Corporately means coming together in worship. And everything changed last March, when for a period of time, I know you experienced this, Jason and I were talking on a regular basis, you simply met totally online. You couldn't come together for worship. And I don't know about you, I think I do. Boy, I miss being able to be with the family of God. I missed it. But we weren't able to do that. I would stand Sunday after Sunday in Claremont, Georgia, and I would preach to a camera. Pastor Jason preached to a camera. And now I know for many of you, you're still watching online because of health reasons or other reasons. You've not been able to gather, but you're still joining in corporate worship with other believers as you join us online today. It is important to join together corporately. But listen, that's not enough. We must also be in God's Word privately or personally. Now, I'm going to say something, and if you're going to tweet me, hear all of it before you do. You know, there was a time when you were teaching that if you said something, people had to get home and write you at least a note and mail it to you. And then they got where they could just email it to you. And then it got where you could just sit there in real time and just tweet it out. So if you're going to do that, hear all of it. Folks, it is important that you hear God's Word as the body of Christ. But hear this. Pastor Jason cannot teach you enough truth on Sunday morning to get you through the whole week. He's an incredible teacher. God has gifted him. He's gifted your team, incredible teachers. But there is no pastor alive who's living now or has lived that can teach enough God's word to us on Sunday to get us to the next Sunday without us also getting into God's Word for ourselves. Amen. We have to get into His Word. It's important that each of us personally and privately open God's Word and ask Him to speak and then listen to what He says. So, if we're to live out the life of Christ on a daily basis, we must first be quick to hear. But secondly, not only to hear His Word, but also to welcome His Word. That's the second thing. We must welcome God's Word. Verses 19 through 21 talks about this. In verse 19, he says, be slow to anger. Now, he's dealing with anger first in a general basis. To be slow to get angry. You know, some of us have a quick fuse. We have a quick temper. And living in this area now or in Oconee County or up in the Braselton area, any part of this world, it's easy to lose our tempers just dealing with the traffic that's around us. Just dealing with the traffic. So he's talking generally. If you're a parent, you have to read this verse over and over. Be slow to anger, slow to anger. If you're married, I won't even go there, but you get it. But I think he's speaking more specifically as well. You know what I think he's saying here? Because he's talking about the Word of God. I think he's saying, when you read God's Word, welcome it, don't get angry. So what do you mean? Why would I ever get angry with God's Word? I get angry and you get angry with God's Word when it challenges us in some area of our lives. Pastor Jason's up teaching, and he's just preaching the Scripture. He's not picking on anyone, but he preaches a truth that drills directly into your life. And if you're not careful, you're going to be tempted to say, why are you picking on me? Why are you picking on me? Listen, hear what I'm about to say. This is an important statement. Write it down in your outline. God's Word is not given to restrict you. It's given to liberate you. It will set you free. But God does set boundaries. God establishes boundaries in our lives for our own well-being. And I can tell you this, anywhere in God's Word it says no, it's for a reason. Anywhere in God's Word it says wait, it's for a reason. And when God's Word says yes, it's also for a reason. I read this somewhere not too long ago. It said this. It said that when it comes to God's Word, people do not reject the Bible because it contradicts itself, because it does not. People reject the Bible because it contradicts them. An old saying in line with that is this, the Bible will either keep us from sin or sin will keep us from the Bible. And what James is saying is this, we're to welcome God's Word because, go back to that passage and look in verse 21, he says it's able to save our souls. He says, that's speaking of salvation. Is that speaking of a person who comes to Christ and repents and trusts Christ and is saved, is changed? Yes, but it's also speaking to the follower of Christ. You know what it says? If we'll just welcome God's Word, it will save us from a lot of heartache. You don't certainly have to answer this out loud, but he said, have you ever had a time in your life or an experience in your life? I think we all have. Where you made a choice, and then later you said, if I had just listened to what God said, I would not be there. We've all been there. And then other times we made a choice based on God's Word. We said, thank you, Jesus, that you showed me in your Word what I'm supposed to do before I made a mistake. Well, we're to welcome God's word. And then thirdly, he says we then must obey God's word. It's not enough just to hear it. It's not enough just to welcome it. We must then live it out. You see, if we're really serious about God's word, if we're really serious about making it just about Jesus, then we're going to be serious about obeying what Jesus teaches us. Go back and look at that passage in verses 22 through 25. He tells us there's a difference in a casual hearer and a serious hearer of God's word. There's a difference in one who reads it casually and one who really reads it seriously, asking God to speak. A casual hearer, he says, is like a person who glances in a mirror, looks at himself in a mirror, but makes no adjustments, and then goes his way or her way and lives life the way they desire to live it. But then he says, a serious hearer is one who looks into God's word and is changed by it. He looks into God's word and is changed by it. I remember when I was in college, there were classes I had to take for my degree. I was a religion major and a psychology major, and there were courses I had to take, and I couldn't graduate without them. But there were other classes that were just classes of interest, and I could audit those. If you've ever been in college, you know what I'm talking about. If you audited a class, it just simply meant you went in, you listened, you didn't have to take the exam, you didn't have to take notes, you didn't have to remember anything, you just listened. But if you were majoring in that area, you had to take notes because you had to take the exam and you had to pass to get out. And by the time I finished, I was married, and my wife's an educator, and she told me she would send me to my room if I didn't pass. And so I had to pass. But you know what? That's the way it is with God's word. We can just audit God's word. So what does that mean? We can just pick it up, we can read it, and it does nothing. Doesn't change us. We don't apply it. Or we can pick it up and read it and say, God, speak to me through it. I get asked pretty often, or I have through the years, how much should I read in my devotional time? Let me answer it this way. It's not the quantity of chapters or verses that you read. It's what you do with what you've read. And I would rather you read one verse and it make a difference in your life today than read four chapters and it do nothing for you. You see, when you get to heaven, God's not going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You read 32 chapters one day. Well done, good and faithful servant, because you obeyed what Jesus said. That's what he's going to say. Well, we're to welcome it. And then we're to obey it. You say, but Larry, there's so much of the Bible I don't understand. You know, there's a lot of the Bible I don't understand. In fact, sometimes we as Christ followers, we try to make like we understand stuff we really don't understand. It amazes me the debates that followers of Christ get into. And you know where a lot of people are getting in debates over God's word today? In social media. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about social media in a moment when we get to the final point. But let me just tell you, Christian, we need to be very careful about our debates on social media. What the world needs to hear is that Jesus loves them, Jesus died for them, and Jesus will save them through the power of the cross rather than our little opinion about what we believe about some obscure verse in God's word. We need to be very careful. Very careful. You see, my problem in my life is not with the parts of the Bible I do not understand. My problem is living out what I do understand. And there's a whole lot I understand that I'm not living that I need to apply to my life on a daily basis. Well, that leads to the final statement here, and it is this. We must apply God's word to daily life. You see, God's word is very practical. Think about this with me for a moment. This book contains everything you need to live life successfully. You think about starting a business? God's word. Leadership? God's word. Read the book of Nehemiah if you want to understand what a leader is like. Family? Boy, I really need some help in my marriage. God's word. Being a Christian in a non-Christian world? God's word. Handling people that have opposing views to mine? God's word. There's nothing that we need to live for Jesus that's not found in this book right here. It's incredible. He mentions three areas in these last two verses. Let's look at them. He says, number one, we must apply God's word to the words we speak. I've already touched on this. But what he's saying there is that we have to be careful what we say, because what we say influences others. The words we speak have more power than we think. So we have to be very careful. Now, there was a time when I would say that, and it just applied to verbal communication. But that's all changed. We were talking before the first service this morning. What if this pandemic had occurred 20 years ago? What would we have done in church? We didn't have the opportunity to do online services. We didn't have the media privileges and technology that we have today. 20 years ago, email was just kind of getting started, but there was no Facebook and there was no Twitter or any of the other social media platforms. But now we have all those, and it's very easy for us to say things in social media that are being carried worldwide. And by the way, folks, James deals with this in chapter 3. Read it sometimes, where he says we need to watch our tongues because they can be set on fire with the course of hell itself. Listen to me. The only thing that I should put out on social media is something that's going to elevate Jesus so that others will see Jesus in the words I speak. Need to be very careful. I have a right to express my opinion. You may have a right, but is it the right thing to do? That's the question. Amen? Is it the right thing to do? With the words we speak, and then if you read on, we must apply God's word to the work we do. He says to visit orphans and widows and have compassion for others. Give hope. The care that you're giving to this community, that's what this is about. We had a saying when I was a pastor. And Pastor Billy, Jason's dad, was one that helped develop this saying and then the ministry that came out of it. And it was this, that we are going to be committed to being a church without walls. In other words, we're going to be a church for the community, not just a church for ourselves. And folks, listen, hear me very carefully. We're not to be selfish followers of Christ and make it about us. We're to be unselfish followers of Christ and make it about the people who need to know Jesus. Amen? You see, you baptized 25 last week. You're continuing to see people come to Christ. You know why? Because you're reaching out in the name of Jesus. The words we speak, the work we do, and the witness we give. You see, we must apply God's word to our daily walk. This morning as we leave, can I ask you a question? What is it that Jesus is telling you today? What is he teaching you today, maybe from this passage? Or maybe from your quiet time this morning, that you can live out this week? You can live out this Thanksgiving and Christmas season. God says, I will empower you to obey my word. I will give you the Holy Spirit to empower you. Maybe today is to trust Jesus. You see, he says, obey the word, not only hear it, but obey it. Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Maybe today is to trust Christ, to give him your life. And right from where you're seated, on one of our campuses or watching online from your sofa at home, you can trust Christ today. Maybe it's because someone's been a witness to you. They've taught with you, or you've seen in their lives something different. Today, you can trust Christ. Would you do that this morning? Let's pray together. Bow with me in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you this morning for your word. Thank you this morning for the Holy Spirit who empowers us to live out your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who allows us to make it just about Jesus. in everything we do. Father, be honored and glorified in all that we do this week, this Thanksgiving week. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you.